It's time for our bi-weekly theatre review, and today we're looking forward to what's on offer in London. On the show today, we'll have an amnesiac soldier, some rather murderous maids, and some good old-fashioned Shakespearean revenge. Plus, we'll find out why a North London pub is being transformed into an aquarium from upcoming production by Young Theatre Company. That's all coming up on the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. Stay tuned. And we couldn't be happier to welcome into the studio, as usual, our theatre critic for the International New York Times. It's only Matt Wolfe, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, well, thank
welcome
you very much, Rob. I'm happy to be only me. Thank
well,
you
I say
very
only.
Much.
I mean, you know, I'm using
that's good.
Theatrical call and response.
Exactly.
Our listeners will be shouting at their radios across the world, only Matt Wolfe? What do you mean it's the one and only Matt Wolfe?
Well, how kind, how kind. It's very sweet.
And we've been told to keep ourselves kind of ship-shaped, Bristol fashion and brief today, Matt. Because we've got
we
a little thing off the end of today's regular show.
Okay.
So we're going to start off with Welcome Home, Captain Fox, a fantastic title for any show.
Yes.
Talk us through this one.
Well, this is a real curiosity. I mean, London is a theatre capital where there are various familiar titles that get done a lot. We'll be talking about one of them, The Tempest, shortly. Yeah. You get your Chekhovs, your Ibsens, your Shakespeares. But you know, there are a lot of other plays out there that never get done. So this is a 1937 play by Jean Anouilh, the French writer, which was called, in French, Le Voyageur sans Bagage. And what the Donmar has done is they've got a contemporary writer, Anthony Way, to do his own version of it. So he's taken this French play written pre-war, Second World War, and it's been displaced or updated to America during the Cold War, the moneyed environs of the Ham Island in the late 50s, and it has a new title, Welcome Captain Fox. And the scenario, if you know the movie, remember the movie The Return of Martin Guerre about the guy who comes back and, you know, is he, isn't he, who he says he is, and all of that. It's kind of that scenario rewritten, retranslated.
So there's a bit of sort of mistaken identity but for the protagonist himself rather than those that are around him. How easy is this to do on stage, I wonder?
Well, it's very clever. What I really liked about Blanche McIntyre's production is it's the kind of thing that on the face of it could just be so much whimsy, and after a while you just think, who cares, it's just a caprice. But actually what's really fascinating about it, but deftly done, it's not ladled on with a trowel, is that there are things to be said in this play about identity, and in a way it doesn't really matter at the end of the play, at the end of the day, whether he is the real Captain Fox or not. It's what the community wants him to be, and also who he wants to be. And in both cases, those shift as the play goes on. So it's quite clever. It's sort of satiric, but it's also very funny. It's got two great characters, supporting characters, Mr. and Mrs. Dupont Dufort, who are these grotesque Arabistes, wonderfully played by Catherine Kingsley and Danny Webb. And it's worth seeing just for the back and forth between the two of them.
And does it succeed in being this sort of every man, every soldier, the central character, Captain Fox himself?
Yeah, and what's nice about it is it does keep you guessing until the very end, and I would wager a bet that five people who went to see it would have five different opinions about exactly who he is, what the family thinks he is, and I like plays that are open-ended, and this is tantalizingly open-ended.
Much discussion to be done then on the way home from Welcome Home, Captain Fox. That's on until the 16th of April at the Donmar Warehouse here in London. Next up, we're going to talk about The Tempest. This is an interesting one because it's Dominic Drumgoole's final production at the Globe.
Yeah.
Has he a hit on his hands?
Well, and of course, here's the thing by comparison with Welcome Home, Captain Fox, because The Tempest, by exact neat contrast, is a title that gets done a lot. And, you know, why shouldn't Dominic Drumgoole do it as his final production? Because there are a lot of people who think that the play itself is sort of Shakespeare's valedictory, either from the world of theater or perhaps even from life. Who's to say? But it is finishing out Dominic Drumgoole's regime after a decade or so running the Globe, and particularly in this case, having opened the Sam Wanamaker Playhouse, which is the beneath stairs theater, as it were, at Shakespeare's Globe. I would say, to be honest, it's a good production, not a great production. It's got all the trademarks of Dominic Drumgoole at his best. It's very boisterous. It's very clever. Some of the supporting roles, which often count for nothing, in this instance count for a lot. What it doesn't have, rather surprisingly, is much emotional impact. And given the landscape of revenge, retribution, forgiveness that the play traverses, I think it should be a little bit more moving than it is. The central character, Prospero, who's this kind of shaman, philosopher, wizard, king, he's all of the above, when he sort of abjures famously his art at the end, you should feel a little bit of an emotional tingle. Mm. And that's what's missing. That's, I think, the magic ingredient that in a play about magic doesn't quite land.
And you mentioned laying on meaning with a trowel or not in your description of Welcome Home, Captain Fox. The Tempest is always said to mean so many things. I mean, it was set at the beginning of kind of colonial expansion for European powers and all the rest of it. Well, that was when it was written, at least. Mm. Is it played quite close to the text?
Yeah, it's played pretty straight. I mean, you're exactly right. You can see it as a parable of this, that, and the next thing. I suppose if there's one word that would sum up what this production wants to say about the play, it's release. A lot of the characters in the play want release. Ariel, the kind of sprite, Caliban, the sort of malformed creature come human, and of course Prospero, who wants release himself in the form, and Shakespeare possibly through Prospero. So on that level it works, but it's not quite the emotional knockout that one would have expected.
Okay, that is Matt Wolff's lowdown on The Tempest. It's on until the 22nd of April at the Sam Wanamaker Playmaker. He's only going to make one. A bid farewell to Dominic Drumgool by turning up to that one. And we're going to finish this bit of the arts review talking about The Maids. I love the idea of this. Yeah. Talk us through this one. Jean Genet originally. Yeah. I love the idea of this.
Well, this is a very fascinatingly perverse play, famously perverse, about two sisters, Solange and Claire, and their sort of servitude at the hands of Madame, whatever she may be called in various versions. It has often been played by three men. Sometimes it's performed in drag. In this case, it's not written this way, but in this case, it's refracted through the prism of race, which, of course, makes perfect sense given what the play is about. And interestingly, just like Welcome Home, Captain Fox, it's a French originating play that in this version has been set in America. So you've got two black American sisters and their sort of vaingloriously vapid boss employer played by Laura Carmichael, who many will know from Downton Abbey. She couldn't be more English in Downton Abbey. Here she's kind of the most grotesque, like one of Donald Trump's moneyed acolytes. What more can one say than that? The big occasion of the production for me, as somebody who doesn't watch as much television as I should, is the young American actress Uzo Aduba, who's an Emmy Award winner for her performance on TV in Orange is the New Black. And she plays one of the two maids, and she is absolutely sensational. And, you know, I only knew her as this television name, and my God, she is a theatrical force to be reckoned with.
Wow, it's strong stuff indeed. The Maid sounds like it gets the most ringing endorsement.
Probably of these three, it does.
Okay. Before that, we talked about the Tempest at the Globe, a bid farewell to Dominic Drumgool, a studious but boisterous production, says Matt Wolff. And we kicked off with Welcome Home, Captain Fox at the Donmar Warehouse, which sounds well worth the entrance fee, isn't it, as well?
Yes.
Sounds fantastic stuff. All nice and up close as well.
Yes.
Donmar. But we're going to end the show by going to a small pub theatre in North London to meet the people behind a new play that's set to turn the venue into a giant fish tank. Black Dog Goldfish is a production by Parrot in the Tank Theatre Company, which looks at depression through the story of an aquarium worker who tries to set free the captive fish, but instead accidentally kills one of them by punching it in the face. To make sense of this bizarre storyline, we invited in director Sam Bailey and producer Eva Liparova.
We're a theatre company. We're based in London, and we came out of the Central School of Speech and Drama. I think maybe one of the specific traits of us as a theatre company is we work on the type of theatre that is quite cinematic, sometimes immersive. So often audiences describe it as stepping into films, and we really like staging everyday stories with a sort of comic twist. So we really like staging comedy. Black Dog Goldfish is a show that is set in an aquarium, and it tells a story of one disgruntled employee who hates his job at the aquarium but loves the fish. So I guess the crux of the story is he decides to release the captive fish back into the sea until one day he accidentally punches one of the fish to death, which, you know, people will see in the show, so I won't give that away. I guess the show is inspired by a story that was brought by Sam into the company, and we decided we would just run with it and see what we make of that when it's brought into the rehearsal room.
We had a show that we did before about a old darts player. Yeah, it was set sort of Ali Pali darts world, and we'd created a few scenes, and one of them involved a darts player throwing a board to win a goldfish off a wall of goldfish and managed to skewer one by mistake. And that goldfish became a symbol of his kind of spiraling out of control. All of that, though, got cut from that last show, and I was desperate to try and use it somewhere else. When we came to this idea, I struggled with depression, and it appeared in my life a few years ago now. And it came at the perfect time for me to go, guys, I know exactly what this goldfish is. And so started kind of connecting the dots and crowbarring lots of elements together. And then the show sort of blossomed from there. We always had this remit that we want to completely transform places and the lighting and sound and set, they all play appropriate parts to the show as the performers. And in putting on our Hen and Chickens, we just really wanted for people to come in and not feel like they were above a pub. And we hang stuff off of a very cinematic aesthetic because we all have a sort of conjoined joy of all of that. And we always sort of have new toys every time we develop a show, and this time it's helium. So we're playing with lots of helium. We're creating lots of jellyfish out of suspended balloons with material, and actually getting the right balance so that they hang in the air and you can dance with them and fight them is tough, but I think really satisfying. And fingers crossed it'll all go to plan when we put it on the stage.
And Black Dog Goldfish is on at the Hen and Chickens Theatre in North London from the 15th to the 27th of March. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Matt Wolfe, thank you very much as ever. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bounds. My producer was Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow when we'll be discussing the week in books. And we'll hear from this year's Charles Taylor Prize winner, Rosemary Sullivan. But for the time being, I've been Robert Bounds, and thank you very much for tuning in.